O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There is a certain feeling of security that comes with being an understudy. Understudy is a term that comes to us from the theater world, and in theater, the understudy learns the role that they are not initially listed to play. The understudy is the backup, the actor who steps up when the original actor cannot go on. So the work of the understudy is all about preparation. It involves a lot of memorization, observation, and ultimately being able to envision yourself in the role. So for the most part, the understudy can feel secure in the fact that they are prepared and most likely not required to prove it. That is, unless something unexpected happens, a chariot of fire, perhaps, a crucifixion, certainly unexpected. It was a personal run-in with the unexpected that brought me to Boston as a seminary student and ultimately here to this Old South Church. In 2020, I was set to graduate college and transition directly into military service. I'd been prepared to serve a long time. My parents and my brother, who are here today, are all veterans. You can thank them for their service. As are plenty of plenty of others in my extended family as well. So it was in the cards, okay? I remember putting a pen to paper when I was 18, certain that it was also the path for me. I would cruise through the years of service that I owed and follow the leader and graduate college debt-free. It was a solid plan. Until the unexpected happened. Months before I graduated, I suffered an injury that disqualified me from serving. I was discharged prematurely with no leader for me to follow anymore. And the uncertainty of it all was overwhelming. I had enjoyed a sense of security being an understudy. And then the unexpected happened. When the understudy gets called up to step into the role unexpectedly, in that brief moment of panic, there are about two things that they can lean on for support. One is the preparation that they've done, and the other is just faith. A raw, fear and trembling kind of faith. Peter's preparation and faith, that would be pushed to its limit in Joppa, where he was asked to tend to this recently deceased matron of the community, Tabitha. Every miracle that he had performed so far, all the healings and whatnot, probably bolstered his faith a bit, but it also would have reminded him of his teacher, the man who was supposed to be here doing the miracles himself. There would always be that kernel of grief left over from the loss, and a kernel of fear in facing the unknown. And so this specific request that Peter received in Joppa would have certainly reminded him of Jesus. Because who could forget the first time witnessing somebody being brought back to life? Back then, back when Jesus was alive, it was a 12-year-old girl, the daughter of a synagogue official. Peter had been one of the few people allowed to go with Jesus into the place where they had laid her body. He remembered people laughing at Jesus that day. Healing is one thing, but resurrection? Come on. Maybe Peter had had his doubts back then too, but he followed Jesus anyway. He had seen the girl's body, saw the life come back into her eyes at Jesus' words, and saw her get up as if she had just fallen asleep. The sneers and the laughter turned to tears of joy. Jesus' power had surpassed death after all. So those memories would have been fresh in Peter's mind in Joppa. When he looked at Tabitha's body, he would have thought of that little girl. This time, of course, Jesus wasn't there. Jesus had had the power to overcome death. But who was he to do the same thing? He was just the understudy. His faith had made him a healer, but a resurrector, get real. But Peter had been prepared for this. He could lean on his preparation. He had watched what Jesus had done that day. Of course he remembered. It was time then for the understudy to step into his role. So Peter cleared the room. He knelt, prayed, and extended his hand and said simply, "Get up," just like Jesus had. And Peter found out that he was truly equipped for the task. Now, with us, the church, I feel that Jesus's absence still weighs heavy on us today. We try to prepare ourselves for our work in the world as fellow understudies of Christ, endlessly dissecting his life and his ministry year after year, hoping that we are doing and believing what he'd want us to in our own time. But who can really know for sure? It's hard work, especially as our world continues to change at such a rapid pace. Jesus' departure had thrown his disciples into uncertainty, and I'd say that this uncertainty has only grown with time. We've been filling in for Jesus for a long time now, still playing understudy to this leading man who we believe is coming back soon and very soon. But after all this time, I wonder if the role of understudy fits us as a church anymore. Maybe that we've outgrown it? Perhaps we, the church, are actually something more than an understudy. So these are the thoughts that have been on my mind as I stand at the threshold of change in my own life again. I've spent the past 3 years literally understudy in seminary and understudy here at Old South for nearly a year now. And what a gift it has been. I can't thank you enough for investing in me and challenging me and supporting me as I get my bearings in this truly unusual line of work. I have special thanks to this fabulous team of ministers here, including June and Dawn and Nancy. Thanks to my Bible study regulars, Bev, Lois, David, Tim, Paul, and Bill. To the members of the new neighbor task force, old and new, and of course to all my fellow queer Old Southers, both on staff and out here. What a gift. What a gift it's been to be an understudy. But I know that you all would not want me to graduate from this place still an understudy, because you have equipped me to be so much more. But it's up to me to step into that potential. It's up to me to shift myself, my understanding of myself, from being an understudy to being an heir, from being a military service member to being a different kind of service member. And I won't thrive in this work unless I own for myself that I am truly an heir of this place and an heir of all of you that have formed me. And it is the same for the church, the same. In Acts, we see clearly just what Peter and by extension, all of us are equipped to do. Not just most of what Christ has already done, but what Christ has done and more. Yes, even the power of resurrection. So the question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it with a raw, fear and trembling kind of faith? I'm not asking you about your faith in God or Jesus, which is all well. I am asking you if you have the faith that you can truly execute the work of God. If you have faith that you are truly an heir. Because the faith of an understudy can only be temporary. It's a faith that you can do something well enough, at least until the leader returns. It's a faith that survives short bouts with uncertainty. But if you want to thrive in a lifetime of uncertainty, you need the faith of an heir. You need to have faith that you are an heir. And having the faith of an heir does not undercut our faith in Christ as our head or our faith that Christ will one day return. Not by any means. I'd say that this faith honors Christ because it honors the trust that he has put in his church. It's a faith that owns what we have been equipped for. And church, the world needs us. I mean all of us, the global church. Because who is more equipped to speak up against attacks on basic human dignity than we are? Who is more equipped to reconcile the wrongs of history than we are? Who is more equipped to transform the very fabric of this society into the foundation of the realm of God? No one. No one is more equipped than us. We are the heirs of Christ, church, not just the understudies. We have graduated. Thanks be to God. Amen.